chapter 2. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are engaged every day in a battle between God and Satan in our lives. Now let me stop, because you know, I don't think we really understand this. We are being infiltrated and influenced, amen, between two powerful powers. And when God is operating, Satan is shut down. And when Satan is operating, God moves to the side. So one of the things we need to understand in this battle between God and Satan in our lives is that there are two influences establishing a warfare within every believer. Now, we got conflict on the inside because of our two natures. Remember we went over that? The old nature, new nature. They're constantly in conflict. So it could be as elementary as me turning on a TV program and one nature saying, watch this, the other saying, don't watch. The conflict is every day. Every day, these influences establish a warfare in the believer. And last Wednesday, we informed people about God's exposures of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, that the weapons or the weaponry of our warfare is not carnal, 2 Corinthians 10. We dealt with weapons, we dealt with wisdom, we dealt with warfare, we dealt with wounds, but to the pulling down of our strongholds. And we got some strongholds, Doc. I'm tired of people being in denial. We got strongholds. Strongholds are self-protective devices that we have erected over the years to protect little old me. Are y'all getting me? So we have erected walls so others can't get in. We have erected thinking patterns, dysfunctional thinking patterns, so you're not understood, nor can you be understood. That you know what you feel and what you think, don't nobody else know. And so God wants to pull these things down so that he can renew our minds. Remember the series, The Renewing of the Mind? God wants to renew our minds with Christ, his presence, his peace, his power. And so it says, our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God, the preposition through, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I don't know about you. I need Jesus present in my life every day, or I'm in trouble. Amen. Present. Present. I don't need to quote no scripture. I need the presence, the peace, the power of Jesus Christ in my everyday life. In my decision making, in my prayer, in my thoughts. Come on now. In the name of Jesus. I'm looking at this wage war on TV with the Kavanaugh going to the Supreme Court. And I'm just listening. And listen, I'm sitting there listening and I'm saying to myself, now wait a minute. If you go back in my life 35 years, you're going to find something. So if I'm running for president, I'm going to tell you, excuse me, Mr. Gordon, 35 years ago, guilty. I'm guilty. I'm not going to sit up there and try to hide and disguise. No, but I got a rationale. I was unsaved. I had one Adamic nature influenced by Satan. So somebody say, well, what about the sin you did last week? Well, I didn't yield. But the fact of the matter is that our weaponry is not carnal. You're not fighting human beings. You're not fighting visible things. You're fighting invisible things. Principalities, powers, dominions, and thrones. And it is not carnal, but rather a spiritual power that needs to pull down the strongholds. And we got some strongholds. Now let me, every time I get here, we get quiet and, we start lying. Well, I'm real shy. No, something behind that shyness, baby. There's something historically behind that shyness that you keep hiding. You don't want to come out in the open. You know, there are certain nocturnal creatures. They don't come out during the day because predators will kill them. They wait for nighttime. And I only know one animal that comes out at night. Ain't nobody messing with him. And that's a skunk. Ain't nobody fooling with no skunk, dog. The fact of the matter is, he weighed that tail. That's it. The fact of the matter is that we hide. I hide. When my fears mount, when my flesh is hollering, when my fractures are at work, I want to hide. Who are you hiding from? I ain't hiding from y'all. I'm hiding from myself. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel found out. Stuff is tough, man. It's psychological. And then when you get married, marriage is supposed to be a total open and intimacy where there are no secrets. And we still got secrets, and we still have not come to the point where we feel comfortable enough to share the person we're married to in intimacy. We'd rather call another family member or friend and share with them because we are afraid to open up because we've been hurt before. Paul homes in on this stuff, man. Paul is probably the only apostle in the epistles that really deal with psychological warfare. The rest of them don't really deal. I mean, the Holy Spirit wrote through all of them, but Paul deals with this stuff. So in 2 Timothy, you got 1st, 2nd Timothy, we call them pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy and Titus are pastoral epistles because Timothy and Titus were pastors. Paul's writing Timothy saying, Timothy, young Timothy, my son in the faith. Let's observe the first thing about Timothy. He's young. He's a young pastor, pastoring Ephesus, church at Ephesus. The problem at Ephesus was the people at Ephesus were seasoned saints who looked down on Timothy as a young boy. My God. So Paul writes Timothy and says, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of timidity, fear. That ain't from God. Timothy, you're fearful. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a disciplined mind. One day I'll get to that disciplined mind. It is the opposite of dysfunction. That Timothy, listen to this, you got fear issues. Okay. Timothy, you got flesh issues. Flee fornication. For Paul to tell Timothy that meant that Timothy was struggling with sensuality, which most young men do. Amen. So he's got fear problems. He's got flesh problems. He tells Timothy, look, the sisters in Christ, they're your sisters. The others treat as mothers. Be careful with your flesh. He had fear problems, flesh problems. He was fractured. Timothy had a whole lot of stuff operating in him that was not conducive for a pastor to have. So Paul is encouraging him. Don't ever think you're ready for the pastor. You're never ready. In fact, you're not ready for anything. You're not ready for marriage when you get married. I thought I'd tell you that. Well, I've been married 10 years. You weren't ready 10 years ago. And if I talk to your mate, you still ain't ready.
You know why we're not ready for marriage? Let me throw this out. Now that I got my church vote.
The reason we're not ready for marriage is because you get married, but you still want your own way.
You've gotten married, but you still want your own bank account. You've gotten married, but you're still bringing people into the marriage that shouldn't be there. In-laws and outlaws. You got married, but your husband and wife does not have first place. Because if they had first place,
the placement would be different. Well, baby, listen.
Here's the placement.
I know y'all can get upset with me. You're on the phone with your girlfriend or your male friend. You're on the phone. And the key goes in the door. Here comes your husband.
Baby, I got to go. My husband just came home. I shouldn't come in my door. Yeah, child, what you saying? Yes. We saying child, we say, are you kidding me? Let them pay the bills. Yeah, I'm going to work it. And if you got a blended family, you got to put your kids in place. And both of y'all got to agree. Amen. Ray Don and Rachel, come here. I want to talk to you. Listen, this is you're out. So we ain't got no problems here, do we? In the name of Jesus, I love you. I'll do anything in the world for you, but you don't come in here as if this is your home.
Come on now, amen.
You gotta clear them lines up.
Yes, sir.
Cause some of them have tried. And all they're worrying about is the will.
Come on, amen, 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 yes, sir.
I bequeath that you get nothing. See, I dealt with all this in 32 years. I ain't mentioned no names. Never mentioned names. I had a situation across the street. A grandmother was raising a granddaughter. Spiritual, I mean, she was in church all the time. Grandmother loved the Lord. The mother was up in New York partying. When the grandmother died, the mother came down here with all this rowdiness. That's my mother.
And they was getting ready to bang before the body got cold. And I said, whoa, y'all ain't doing this up in here. Where were you when she was raising your daughter? You getting drunk in New York? Get the heck out of here. Well, I'm my behind. Get out of here. I'm sick of this. And he go to granddaughter, thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I said, well, you know, but legally, she was the daughter. But the grandmother had left everything to the granddaughter. So we had a fight. And there's somebody in every family, and I know you don't think it's in your family. That would never happen in my family. Somebody wants that lamp that you want. Somebody wants that couch that you sat on in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness? And the fact of the matter is that Timothy had some real pointed problems, and so do we. Fall on his sword. Stop trying to make yourself and everybody else think ain't nothing wrong with you. We got issues. All of us got issues. I laid down. I couldn't sleep too much last night. I got a lot going on. I laid down early this morning. I got up 4 o'clock. I was studying the word. I lay down and I teared up and said, Dad, I miss you. And I miss Mom and I miss my brother. And tears was mounting there, man. And the Lord said, they're fine. Get up. Had to start all over again. Had to drop the emotions. Are y'all getting this? You got to keep moving on.
Oh, we have those moments, don't we? Don't we have those moments? But God is able. Can I get a witness? And so child of God. And I'm gonna throw something out real personal that probably applies to some of y'all. I had the Spirit of God come to me when I was in prayer and in the study of the word. And here's what he said to me. Do you know who you're angry with? You're angry with me.
You better know when you're angry with God and when you're angry with somebody else. Most of the time you're angry with somebody else, you're really angry with God. Most of the time.
I was in devotion. I said, I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of this. God said, well, this morning, turn to Habakkuk 1 because you're just like Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk was asking God questions. How can you do this to the righteous? How can you use the unsaved? And I was reading. I got near the end of the first chapter. God said, well, the reason I can do this, Habakkuk, is because I got a servant named Nebuchadnezzar getting ready to come. He's going to lock everybody up. All right. We wage a good warfare. We need to become good soldiers. Now, what was my sermon Sunday? Not stop hiding. That was the week before. Huh? Don't quit. When I finish preaching, and I get my sermons from the Lord. I don't sit there and mess around. When I finished preaching, I don't know how many teary-eyed people came up to me. On the end of desperation, had a young man come up to me. He's about to cry. He said, Pastor, you'll never know. We get there, don't we? We want to give up, give in, give out. Throw the towel in. Stop. Start my life over again. God comes along out of pity to restore us. Because God knows that our frames are but dust. We cannot see what's really going on. I got this powerful illustration. I'm going to throw it out tonight, but I'm going to use another sermon. D-Day was at Normandy in France. I've been to Normandy. D-Day was at Normandy. The Third Reich and Hitler, had Hitler listened to his generals, they could have taken the world. They were brilliant. They had the best fighting army in the world. They had that Siegfried line, and they marched faster, they took more territory than any other army in the world. And it was known by historians, Eisenhower was the top general of Europe, and when they wanted to come into France, to Normandy, the Germans thought they was gonna land in Italy, at Calais. They got into Normandy at 4 o'clock in the morning. With a blizzard, he made a decision to go. The wind was blowing, the sea was raging. 155,000 men went across that English Channel. They came to the Omaha, you know, the different islands, different beach fronts. They came to Omaha. Over 2 million men end up going in. Here's what Germany knew. They knew that if the Allied forces landed in Europe, listen to this, the war was over. They landed, but the fighting went on for 3 more years. I'm going some way with this. Satan knew when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, the war was over.
When he said, it is finished, all the powers in hell put their heads down. But they're still fighting, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Come on now, they're still attacking us, aren't they?
Yes.
Y'all ain't getting this picture.
Yes.
We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. We already have the victory. The battle has already been fought, and the victory has already been won.
Yes,
And what you and I got to do is stop feeling sorry for ourselves, stop getting negative, and thank God that he won the victory. When he said, it is finished. Our prayer life ought to change. Thank you, Lord, that I got the victory. I don't know when you're coming, but I got the victory. I don't know when things are going to change, but I got the victory. I don't know, Lord, but I got the victory. Can I get a witness? So here we go. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:3 as we get ready to roll it in. Are y'all getting this? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thou therefore, now the therefore goes back to chapter 1 where there was a call to faithfulness, a call to courage, a call to Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. Boy, you know what Sister Arnold, you know what I learned? Because we do not stop Paul's Park and meditate on every word, we rob ourselves. He says, be strong in the grace. Grace is something you and I don't even deserve. God put grace there to help secure us when we're getting ready to give up. He says, be thou strong in the grace. Watch this now. I'm coming in. Amen. And the same, he says, commit thou to faithful men. In verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. In other words, you coming under attack, but endure it. Learn to take your suffering and see it connected to your sufficiency. If God is allowing this in my life, although it hurts, God's bringing healing. God is doing something through my hurts. Are y'all getting me? He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, contextually, a good soldier is, and you learn to be, committed. Now, you know, when I was in basic training in 68, and I understood what was going on, I was 17. They were trying to break us. When we walked off that bus in civilian clothes, half of a stroller. When I went home on leave, Lord have mercy, my walk had changed. Y'all ain't getting this. Didn't your walk change? Huh? You learn at a 45 degree angle to salute. Can I get a witness? You learn to say yes sir, no sir. You were learning different things because they put you in an intense program to break civilian life. They need you uniform. They need you unified. They need everybody saying the same thing. Can I get a witness? They want you to be a good soldier. Gig line had to be straight. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This thing is tight. Man hollering at you, calling out your name, cussing at you. Amen. You sitting up there. Amen. You got to do stuff that you never had to do in your life before. 4 o'clock. The man come through hitting the lights, making the, get out of bed! When you jumped out of bed, you had to make the bed so tight that they could bounce a quarter. Can I get a witness? Your locker had to be right. You had 5 minutes to get outside in your fatigues, in boots, with a canteen full of water, standing at attention. I ain't talking about the Marines, it's the Air Force. 5 minutes! 5 minutes! Flashlight. What were they doing to me? They were teaching me to be a soldier. Why? Because, and the man explained it to me, if we don't break you now, you're going to get others killed. When you're on the battlefield and you start acting out, you're going to cause the death of others. Do I have a witness? He is committed, he is concentrated, and he understands his cause. And contextually, the cause
of Paul writing Timothy was to please him who had selected him. That's Jesus. My job as pastor is to please him who selected me. Can I get a witness? So I can hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. Wait a minute, before you get big-headed, you've only been faithful over a few things. Don't get me started up in here. Some of y'all think y'all getting 40 rewards and 20 crowns. No, your mouth took that out of the way.
Can I get a witness? Fact of the matter is, a soldier, amen, is discipline. A soldier is discerning. A soldier is dedicated.
Soldier. A real soldier. I came home on leave. I had been to basic and tech school. I'm ready to be shipped out to my first base, major base. I come home on leave, and the guys I left, they sitting on a corner with their head down high. People strung out on drugs. One girl I went to school with, she was beautiful. She looked like an old grandmother, messing around with crack cocaine. When I walked South Philly 5 minutes, I was ready to go back. I wanted no parts of it. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? I go in the bar, they say, Raymond's home, set the bar. Everybody's sitting there nodding with water. I said, I'm out of here now. Why? Because see, once you become a soldier, that other life doesn't appeal no more. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not that you're acting funny with people. You still love them, but you don't want to be bothered because you got a new calling on your life. He uses this metaphor of a soldier. Some of us never grow to be soldiers. We're trying to be a saint without being a soldier. And that's a problem. Can I get a witness? That throw this one out. I'm not open to changing God. I am persuaded about who Jesus is. Oh, I make mistakes, but I'm not open. You ain't gonna come up to me with no bean pie and no bow tie and language, and I changed my religion. Ain't happening. Can I get a witness? You ain't coming to my house with no blue and green book. Talking about we are witnesses. Isaiah 40 for Jehovah. You are not coming speaking in a tongue, and I leave what I believe and leave and follow you. Mahanda, Mahanda, oh Mahanda. That ain't happening. My heart is fixed. My mind, I wish I had a witness up in the house. My mind is made up that Jesus the Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. And you got to get there to be a soldier. You got to get there to be a soldier. You just got to get there to be a soldier, man.
And then the second metaphor is a runner.
Are y'all with me? Please stay with me. I'm getting ready to quit. And if a man, verse 5, also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, I don't want to get you mad, but you can eat your heart out. Because I was an athlete.
Not a computer geek.
I was an athlete. Meaning, I could ball, I ran in the Penn relays.
Eat your heart out. Don't get mad with me. I ran in the Pembroke Leagues. Franklin Field, ran. And I don't want to go too far in it, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you what happened. So I was on a relay race. I was on a relay race, and I think I was on the third leg, and the guy came with the baton and dropped it. And when he dropped it, everybody ran by me, and I had to go back and pick it up and start out. Yes, I smoked everybody. Eat your heart out. They call me Flash Gordon. Don't get mad at me. It's like
the Temptation song. Like a snowball rolling, it's growing, right?
I was in a championship game at 53rd and King Simpson. Hundreds of people out there playing baseball. And if you know anything about the park at King Simpson, the baseball diamond, the home plate was here, and way out was a wall. And I came up the bat, and the pitcher's talking smack. And I did like this. Dug in, he threw the first ball as a ball, he threw that next fastball inside belt high, and I, boom! And when I hit it, the left fielder didn't even move. He did like this. And the ball went over the wall, and I did like this. And my father said, "You hot dog, get around the bases." Now, I'm telling you the good stuff. I didn't tell you when I struck out. I ain't gonna tell you when I slid in the third and broke my ankle. I ain't gonna tell you the war stuff. But the fact of the matter is that what Paul says about the athlete, if you're gonna participate in this race, you've got to be regimented to what you're doing. You got to go through the rigorous. You got to keep the rules. Don't get disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Paul said, "I beat my body. So after I preach to you, I don't become a castaway." Didn't he say that? I can't sit up here and tell you not to be going to bed with nobody. Can I get a witness? And you got women from my past saying, "Oh, I had him." Can't do that, Doc. It's tight, but it's right. You cannot, you got to keep the rules. You got to run within the track. That's the only way you get rewards. It's not how much ministry you do for Jesus Christ. It's the type of ministry you do for Jesus Christ, obeying the principles of the Bible. Run by the rules. He competes, he's crowned, and if need be, he makes corrections. You got to keep the rules. Keeping the rules is not always easy because sometimes we think we have a better way to reach our end. You got to keep the rules. It's not how much you've done, it's how have you done it. My God. Well, let's look at the third metaphor and the final one. Wait on God's crops. He deals with the farmer. Are y'all with me? All right. Praise the name of Jesus. And he says, hanging in with me, that this farmer is very interesting. Verse 6, the husbandman, that's the farmer. Verse 6, are you with me? That laboreth, now stop. There's no easy way to be successful. You got to labor, Doc. You got to pay your dues. You know what they told me when I joined National Baptist Convention 21 years ago? My pastor got me into it. I'm the new boy on the block. Here's what them old timers said. They've been in it since 1920, 1930.
Son, keep quiet. Respect the boys that's there, and just keep the rules. Somebody will notice you. We don't like people coming on the scene making too much noise. I learned something from that. And he uses this word that's interesting. You know, don't come on trying to get a reputation. Come on being submissive and serve. Just be quiet. Somebody will recognize you. I've seen some young preachers come up there and they were from mega churches. Yeah, you should have asked me. And them boys frowned on them. And that's why it says a novice should not be a pastor, because of pride. Pride gets in and you're going to lose it. That when you look at this scripture here, verse 6, the husbandman laboreth, it's work. And y'all heard me the other day. This is not being braggadocious. I just want you to know, some of y'all weren't here in 1987. Lightfoot was. I worked. I labored, man, hard. So 32 years later, I really think I know what I'm doing. I don't need you, who never pastored, never worked, sizing me up. I think I know what I'm doing. Bible study, outreach, all the counseling, retreats, budgets, you know what I mean? Church meetings, visiting the sick, da 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 da. I've done all that. So it doesn't mean I know everything, but I've labored. When people have labored, listen, learn from them. Learn from people who have labored. That farmer laboreth must be first to partakers of the fruits. Now, the farmer plants, the farmer weeds, and the farmer waters. Old Sister White, how many of y'all remember Sister White? Loved it, man. Sister White said, baby, she said, I'm going to teach you how to plant a garden, plant seeds, da-da-da. Sorry, she came around the house. Man. So we digging. She said, I'm planting your tomatoes, and this is what you got to do. And I'm planting some grapevines, and here's what you got. And she was all around. I said, all right, baby. I'm from the hood. Concrete and tar. Ain't no grass where I grew up in. None. And what she didn't tell me was that you can plant and water, but you got to weed. You got to go out in that garden and cut away stuff. That's work. Can I get a witness? Are y'all with me? So finally, I just told her, I'm going to ShopRite. I ain't doing all this, baby. This is crazy. All I got to do is get a cart and go up the aisle, throw my stuff in. I ain't doing all this. Too much work. It's too much what? Work! It's too much work. You have to weed, you have to water, you have to plant. And look what the Bible says. One plants, another waters, but it's God who gives the increase. See, God is saying, if you just do your part, I'll do mine. Do I have a witness? But what else does a farmer have to do as we close? Wait. Oh, Lord. You done planted, you done weeded, you done watered. You got to wait. Can I get a witness? It's the waiting we don't want to do. Do I have a witness? When my first tomato came up, I looked at it and said, whoa, look at that. First it was green, then it turned red. Well, baby, if it's green, put it in the window, let the sun hit it. I ain't doing all that. I'm going. I can go to ShopRite 15 minutes to get a red tomato. What the heck am I putting a tomato in a window for? As we close, like a farmer, I went down to South Carolina to visit my relatives, man. I was a little boy. I was like 11 years old. And on my mother's side, he had a big farm. And I was sleeping. I heard this noise. They all out in the fields, slopping the pigs and feeding the cows and doing the chickens and da-da-da. And they came back in. They said, all right, it's time to eat. And it's like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And they got pork chops, rice, grits, gravy, eggs. I mean, I ain't never seen a spread like that. And all of them was thin. Because right after they ate, they went back to work. Can I get a witness? I ain't never ate like that. Can I get a witness? The fact of the matter is, ministry is work. You can't come in this looking for a reputation. You can't come in there wanting people to pat you on the back. It's work, but you got to wait on the Lord to bless the work. And the Lord will bless it. Won't he bless it? Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord profitable? Isn't the Lord powerful? Won't the Lord do it? Praise his name. We ought to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praising for the Bible lesson. Praising for the buses. Praising for the blessings. He's worthy. Isn't he worthy? He's worthy to be praised. Stand on your feet. If you're here tonight, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, raise your hand, or you want to join the church. We love you. Again, with all seriousness, thank you for coming out to church meeting. Praise the name of Jesus. We're on our way. Father, in the name of Jesus, give Journey's Mercies back home. And Lord God, drive home these metaphors, oh God, of a soldier, of a runner, and of a farmer. And help us to know that we're in the vineyard. Sometimes it gets tough. We get thorns in our hands. And things happen. But God, we know you are the rewarder of our work. Bless us for thy name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday, we're dressed down.